All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the In the Dell podcast. Okay, so we still suck. Been this is third season since 18-19. Oh my god, this is the third season since we were fucking first in the West, and then we decided to go in the opposite direction and plummet into the standings. Plummet.
I remember that off season was pretty exciting. You know, we were like, oh sweet, we're probably gonna trade for a leak and get somebody really good and be awesome. And then it's just been the exact opposite.
We have not, has he had one move that's made us better since 18-19? Oh. I mean, he's had 3 years to improve the team. Yet every move he makes seems to do the opposite.
Well, it's pretty funny that like people are freaking out about people freaking out about the preseason. Guys, it's just preseason, guys.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, we won't pay attention to the last fucking 20 seasons. How we like, we can never start on time. We look like ass. When was the last time we had a winning record in the preseason?
We're always terrible in the preseason.
We're always terrible in the preseason. We're always terrible in the first 10 games of the season. We're just terrible.
And everybody's freaking out on the people who are freaking out. But it's like, if you've watched this team for any extended period of time, like, you know, there are some big time red flags. Like, listen, Rasmus Anderson sucks now, I guess. Like, that's just the thing.
If you can't gauge how the start of season is going to start based on what you've seen in training camp, how are you supposed to gauge it? You think it's just you just magically flick a switch now that it's the regular season starts? Oh, yeah, it starts on October 16th. That's when it starts. It's like, no, what you have seen leading up to regular season is probably going to be a decent indication of how you're going to see this team start. Obviously, you don't have all the guys in the lineup, but wouldn't you like to see someone on this roster carry this team without fucking Johnny Gaudreau? I like how I mean, Sutter said it himself. You don't have a lot of goals. You have goals that are out of the lineup, meaning Johnny Gaudreau and Sean Monahan. So picture this team without Johnny Gaudreau next season. You saw it last night.
Oh, exactly.
Can't score.
Have you seen what games have the Flames looked good in? The ones where Gaudreau has been playing. And like, that's it. Like he takes a slash from Duncan Keith the other night in Edmonton and leaves the game, and they promptly blow a 3-goal lead and suck. It's like the 6 or whatever periods of hockey Johnny Gaudreau has played have been like the only worthwhile watching. And again, it's preseason. I know Daryl says preseason, but I mean, most of the guys who are expected to play on this team in the regular season have been playing and have looked like ass. Like, again, outside of Gaudreau and Shillington and Tanev, and outside of the players on this team who are good, who has looked good? No one. Like Vladar, I guess?
Vladar. Shillington.
Vladar and Shillington have been like the only standouts.
Dewar, Godin.
Yeah.
Dewar and Godin have done more for me in 3 weeks than I've seen from almost 3 years of Berge.
Oh, totally.
All right. I was thinking about this. And I will not throw Gabranson into this category. But as far as Richardson and Lewis go, here's what we're going to do today. We're going to go through pretty much the team as a whole, what we've seen in preseason, doing a bit of an evaluation. So we're getting ahead of ourselves. But if you're looking at the fourth line, I look at the fourth line, you know, what it's projected to be this season, Lucic, Richardson, and then Richie / Lewis. What have these guys done all preseason? Have they done anything? I mean, Lucic threw a body check last night. Lewis, I honestly haven't noticed him once. Richardson's been all over the ice, but I mean, he is what he is.
He's been not good at all.
He's a fourth line player. He's okay in his own end, I guess. Doesn't do much in the offensive end. And then Lucic, maybe he's waiting to get amped up, but I mean, he's going to be relegated to a fourth line role. We're not going to see the same amount of kind of Lucic potential effectiveness as we have in the past two seasons, where he's playing, you know, third line minutes and sometimes more than that. But I was thinking about it, and just to push back on you know, the whole Lewis and Richardson thing, because Sutter is adamant. He's adamant that these guys are fucking key to winning. The only way that I can see that being true is if you stretch this thing out over 82 games, because I think what you're going to get from those guys is consistency, right? They are what they are, but you know what you're going to get. And maybe over 82 games, that works in your favor. If you're Daryl Sutter, you know how to manage this group, as opposed to having Walker, Dewar, and or Glenn Godin over 82 games. You know, they're more like injection players. For a short time period, they can have an effect. But it's kind of like Dubé loses his effect when you stretch him out over 82 games on the top line.
Yeah.
Right? So that's kind of the only way I'm thinking that maybe it's going to work in the way Sutter is adamant that it is going to, is that maybe we have to look at this thing as throughout an entire perspective of 82 games. And I think that's what we got to do, like, as fans. This team isn't going to be very exciting. Now, if you're not experiencing a lot of exciting highs, chances are maybe you're not experiencing as many non-exciting lows. So maybe it's not going to be as, you know, extreme up and down as we've experienced in the last two, three seasons. Maybe it'll be more even keel. So I think we just have to remind ourselves that you have to look at this from an AAU game perspective and just hope. And I guess trust that Sutter knows what he's doing. And then over 82 games of this, hopefully it's enough to put us in a playoff spot.
Yeah, his big thing is it's not about whether you win or lose, but whether you're winning or losing. So great point.
He's all about – what Sutter is about is establishing a solid foundation to then incrementally add and grow from. So that's all he's trying to do this training camp. I mean, I listened to his post-game after last night's loss against the Jets. Dude. Oh. I come on here and say, yeah, you're not going to experience up and downs. It's weird, dude. every coach that's come through this organization in the past 7 years has said the same thing. This is a weird group. I don't know what their problem is. They can't motivate themselves to be consistent. I don't think they've had the proper coach. Now they do. It's going to be interesting to see what type of King Sutter can iron out in terms of getting these guys prepared for every single game. You come into the first period last night against the Jets. My God, dude, we've seen this play out how many fucking times in the last three seasons? They absolutely lay a fucking egg. Don't show up. They get outshot like what, 20-3 or something like
that? Yeah, I looked at it like midway through and it was like 16-3. It was worse by the end of the period.
You're down to nothing. You're like, it's almost as if, you know, when you do the drill in practice where you're letting the power play unit practice, so you got to flip your stick over. It's like we're playing with no fuck, or the sticks flipped over. Just kind of like, Winnipeg just passing it around the horn, just fucking skating circles around everybody, just fucking getting tons of shots to net. Like, the fuck? Sutter after the game says, yeah, they look tired. And maybe he's chalking that up under, it's training camp. We're not trying to be prepared for each game per game per game. Where he's got a bigger vision in terms of just getting ready for game one. I can buy into that. I believe that he knows what he's doing to that capacity. But it still doesn't prevent me from being concerned from what I've seen so far, especially when you get into some of the individual evaluations we'll get into on this podcast today.
Are they tired or are they just really slow? Because that's kind of what I pick up on. When the Flames are getting kind of picked apart, like you look at what happened on the Ehlers goal and even the first goal, it's just like slow. They're slow getting to every single puck. Like that first goal, what is everybody on the ice doing? Like, number one, what is Gabranson doing? He's up on the half wall, like by the blue line.
Yeah.
Like, have you heard? Morrissey just walk right into the slot.
Have you heard of gap control?
Like, geez, Eric, dude, what are you doing? And then Ehlers burned him on that slap shot goal where he just goes zone to zone. I don't know what Rasmus Anderson's thinking. It's just like, I don't know, Daryl. That didn't look like they were tired. It just looked like they were bad and slow. Bad and slow. So those are the red flags you're talking about.
They come back, make it 2-2. Chucky gets the ball rolling again. I mean, let's spend a bit of time on Chucky, because if you're looking at the preseason as a whole, I mean, outside of Johnny Gaudreau, Matthew Tkachuk, and Andrew Mangiapane, the rest of the team is pretty below replacement or pretty damn close to replacement. And it just happens those three players don't have contracts next season.
The thing with Tkachuk, though, like to me, that like it just blows my mind. He's not been made the captain yet. Like, if you like, who like watched the games? How many games have they played? Six, five? I don't even
something
know.
Like that. I think Chucky's played what, three?
Maybe like you're telling me of all those games, you can watch those and tell me that anybody other than Tkachuk should be leading this team? Like, give me a break. Like, what a joke.
He's the guy that gets it going again
every single night. Who gets it going?
I mean, last season, we can't necessarily say that because, you know, by the last third of the season, you're like, what the fuck's wrong with this guy? Because the two seasons prior to that, he's always the guy, if you're down, kick starts the comeback. Or how many game-tying goals does he have? It's probably where he scores his most amount of goals to get you back in the game. Does it again last night. And there's still people arguing. I mean, somebody on Twitter last night said, yeah, but, you know, it takes more than just getting points. You know, you got to be friends with everybody and, you know, good off the ice. I'm just like, Kate, that's not the point. Getting a point, getting a goal, it's not getting a big-time goal or a game-tying goal or get your team. It's the fact that he's the guy driving the fucking bus. And to me, you slice that back, like that's leadership. That is leadership. I don't give a fuck what you talk about in the fucking room. Who gives a shit? Anybody can talk about whatever they want. when it comes down to it, he's the fucking guy driving it.
It's so easy to talk about winning and talk about shit like how
we've heard it for
28 years.
We've heard Giordano it from Giordano, Backlund, Monahan.
They are really good guys. They love to talk about it, but they don't do shit half the time. So
I'm so sick of hearing these guys talk about it, dude. So sick of it.
Yeah, and I mean, if the thing that I'm always left impressed with, similarly with Sutter, with Matthew Tkachuk, is like anytime I hear him reflecting on this team or analyzing this team or breaking down stuff post game, like he is so dialed in to what's going on, and he knows what the fuck is up with this team. It's just like, not only is he a great leader with what he does on the ice, but he knows what's the issues with this team, and he knows where they go wrong. You hear him talking, like, I didn't hear anybody talking about what's wrong with this team in preseason other than him, who's like, you know what? Since I've been here, we've sucked to start the season every single year.
Thank you for fucking speaking for the fans. Nobody else will do it.
Everyone else just talks about how, oh, it's great to be back, you guys. Oh, yeah. Great to be back in the room. Yeah.
What's Backlund saying? Oh, yeah, it's great to be back with the guys out. Yeah.
Like, it's just give him, like, it's so dumb that he's not captain. It's so dumb. And he looks good. That play he made to Godin last night, that was a great
goal. And the game tying goal, which was absolutely fucking robbed.
Oh, man.
Flames. Like, come on.
Like, totally come on. Give me a break.
Like, you want to talk about changing the rule of icing so it's in the spirit of the game?
Yeah.
Like, what is this? Like, if you pause it on a fucking freeze frame, it's about 2 inches above his shoulder because he's hunched over.
I will never understand. Like, somebody needs to do this research. Like, how many blatantly stupid goals callback that the Flames have? Like, they must lead the league by like a fucking mile over the past 10 years. That's the dumbest shit. And this is the thing with like high sticking is like, did you see how, do you know how hard that is to do? How much skill it takes to make that play?
Okay. And not only that, it's like he lacrosse corralled it to himself, past whoever that was in the slot, to then turn around and make the play to set up the goal. That was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And yet again, he's the guy. Basically, if we call that a goal, because you don't have, I mean, that's a brand new rule. They're going to review every goal in the last 1 or 2 minutes now. Somebody was saying,
that's so NHL. Like, give me a break. Like, did they call it on the ice? No. Why didn't they have all these goddamn rules in place when we should have won the Stanley Cup 20 years ago?
Yeah, no fuck, eh?
Or when Sam Bennett scored against the Ducks in the exact same play in 2015 in the playoffs. Like, God, like, oh, it's so stupid.
But he's the guy. I don't give a shit. I mean, you don't need to be friends with everybody. Like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You're a leader, you're not. You think Messier was just like fucking, you know, chumming it up with his teammates in New York or Edmonton? Give me a fucking break. He says, here's where the bar is at. If you're not here, you're going to hear about it. Give this guy the fucking C right now.
And yeah, it's just this peewee bullshit. Like, and again, like to us fans, it probably matters more. Like the thing that Daryl is like, I don't give a shit who's captain, like, which I kind of appreciate that philosophy too, but it is kind of like peewee dumb shit. It's like, oh yeah, let's just have 3 A's and just make sure that we give the captaincy to the guys who's the nicest. Like, give me a break. That's like the epitome of this organization to me, is like, fucking commit to something for once. Like, you're telling me, given, and you were talking about his contract status, tell me giving him the C doesn't incentivize him or make him want to stay in Calgary more. Like, come on. If he's on any other team in the league, he's their captain without a doubt in my mind.
Let's, we were just talking about this. Friedman had, was it Chucky? Yeah. In his 32 thoughts. Regarding the Shane O'Brien, or he was on the Shane O'Brien. Tell me what you're talking about.
Well, he was on Miss and Curfew, which is like a Spit and Chicklets podcast with Shane O'Brien and Scotty Upshaw.
Which, by the way,
interviewing Chucky.
As a reminder, Shane O'Brien's the dipshit that apparently leaked in the summertime that Chucky wanted out of Calgary and wanted to go to St. Louis. He's the motherfucker that started the whole thing.
And you'll remember he played for Calgary. O'Brien, why can't I be O'Brien?
So O'Brien tries to pretend like he didn't say Matthew.
So I just watched the beginning of it because they just released it this morning. Go listen to it because Chucky is such a good listen and he's more open than he is on other podcasts, obviously. But O'Brien's like, no, Matthew, I never said that you wanted out of Calgary. I never said that. All I said was I like the Blues and I think you would be a great fit on the Blues. It's like bullshit, dude.
Okay, throw it in.
It's going in.
Would you be interested in a Tarasenko and leaving St. Louis, my friend?
I think his time's up. I got a little rumor, I guess, here, Cools. And for Dwayne, I got Tarasenko going to Calgary for Tkachuk. I heard Tkachuk wants out of Calgary. Tarasenko time's up there. I think that's a trade that could happen. And then obviously Seattle, an expansion team. Anytime you could get a guy like Tarasenko on an expansion team, the way he shoots the puck, it could happen. But I think there could be.
Word on the street is he wants out of Calgary. He wants to go to St. Louis.
And I'm hearing Tkachuk St. Louis.
I never said it.
So apparently he bumped into Tkachuk. Go listen to the podcast. But apparently he bumped into Tkachuk at a UFC event in Vegas and Tkachuk ripped him to shreds for it. Because Chucky said, he's like, it's the 2 weeks into the offseason and my phone's buzzing. I'm getting in shit from all the Flames management and all the PR guys saying, what the hell's going on? And it's because dipshit McGee is out spouting his mouth off about stuff he doesn't know about.
Ridiculous. So Chucky looks like he's ready to go this season. I just hope that from what I've seen so far, man, I'd be starting Johnny and Chucky together
Without a doubt, dude.
Like,
I don't think we've talked about it on the show yet. We talked about it on a live over the weekend, but the biggest bright spot thus far this season has been the Gaudreau, Tkachuk, Lindholm trio when they've been playing together. Like, they were unstoppable in that game.
I gotta say, Coleman has done next to nothing for me so far this preseason.
Yeah, I've seen zero from Blake Coleman, and he's having a hearing today for that hit last night, which was a pretty bad hit. that was like a Nazem Kadri hit, dude.
Yep. Those are usually always a suspension. I would imagine he's going to get. Do they probably suspend you for regular season, right? They're not going to suspend you for
preseason. Something like that. I would see that being suspendable into the.
It's probably at least one game, maybe two. Depends if he kind of made contact with the body, didn't he? Or was the head the principal point? That'll be the big thing.
Yeah, it was his head.
But if you get a hearing, doesn't that mean you're going to get a suspension?
I think he gets an in-person hearing. I don't know. Is it in-person or over the phone? I think it is a hearing. So I'm sure he's getting something. But
so the only – and outside of that hit, which is dumb, it was a dumb hit. But then after the fact, because the Winnipeg guys kept on goading him, then I finally see some life from this guy. Look, yeah. I get it. Sutter's been saying he's not playing in many preseason games because he played 26, playoff games last season, whatever the number was. Sure, I get it. But I have yet to see anything from this guy. And I'm not saying he's not going to be great. I'm just saying what I've seen so far. I don't know. Have we pumped this guy's tires too much or is it just too early to tell? It's probably just too early, right?
It's too early. But again, like the only encouraging things from this preseason thus far is Shillington looks really good. The Gaudreau, Lindholm, Tkachuk line looked really good. Vladar looks good. And like, that's kind of it. So,
and Mangiapane is going to be good again.
Yeah.
We know that.
So
he's going to find
that,
a groove.
That goal they scored on the power play last night. Holy shit.
But like poor Mangiapane, he's being victim to like having a rotation around. This is who are what's his line?
Well, how come we never saw the Monahan? Have Monahan and Gaudreau even played in the game at the same time yet this year?
No, we have yet to see any reps between the so-called second line of Johnny, Monty, and Mangiapane. Zero.
Yeah, which we were all stoked to see.
I don't get when Sean plays his one game, why wouldn't you put that line together? And if they're not getting any reps, then why don't you have Backlund in there getting reps? You have no, Sutter has no idea if this line's going to work out. We have yet to see it. You're just hoping and trusting. I don't know what the deal with Monahan is. Is he injured?
He must still be like nursing something a little bit because he and Hanifin have barely played.
Okay, great. So instead of game four, he goes with an injury. He's now already injured before the fucking season starts. Great. Real great.
unless like, because they haven't really been explicit about like they like again like I'm sure, but he's like what he played one game. That's it.
One game.
And right? He didn't play last night. I didn't even see the game last night.
The fourth line.
Yeah.
And I think Sutter just shut down his minutes after like the first period. So I don't know. It seems like something's going on there. But like, when isn't something going on with Sean now? So big surprise. My point is, if there's any question mark about it, why aren't you preparing a second line that doesn't include him just in case for the first 10 games? He's not 100% or he can't even play.
Well, it does beg the question why they've been – Dubé's been playing at center a lot. Maybe they're – because why would they be doing that unless they're anticipating Monahan maybe not being ready to go or something? Because he played center again last night. And I don't know. That's something we've never really seen before. Even though I think – shit, man. I haven't been advocating for Dubé at center, but it's something that's always – I've always thought that, well, he played center in junior. Why don't they try him at center, seeing his team sucks down the middle? So maybe that's why they're preparing for Monahan to be out.
Oh, I don't know. So the other thing that because we were just talking about this, Friedman, he said he likes Shillington. What did he say about Shillington?
Well, he was just talking about how much he stood out this this preseason. So it was in Friedman's 32 Thoughts column this week. He says that he was really impressed and Shillington piqued his interest because he's just been so good. He had the 25-minute game against the Kraken. And he's not waiver exempt, so it looks like he should be making the team. And like, Jesus Christ, he should be making the team.
So if you hear Daryl talk about it, I think it was before the Winnipeg game, he's talking about the D pairings in Shillington and Valimaki. And it sounds like, what? Why can't they put them together? They got to split them up because they shoot the same way?
Well, yeah.
Shillington can play right side.
Shillington, you know, has stated, similar to Brody, I remember this, maybe he was just saying this, he's like, please let me get in the friggin' lineup for once. But he was saying, like, in Sweden, he played the right side and actually likes the right side a lot. So I get they want to go righty lefty, but I mean, dude, at this point, Shillington's your best left-handed defender. Like, if Hanifin's even remotely hurt, like, he should be your top pairing guy with Tanev, to be perfectly honest, because everyone else is stunk. Like, Sutter has not been impressed with Valimaki, nor have I been.
I haven't even fucking noticed him.
Yeah, in his post-game press conference last night, he didn't call him out by name, but he might as well have, because somebody asked about Stone, and Sutter said, yeah, his partner has to be way better. And I agree. Like, I have seen shit from Valimaki.
Yep. I have not noticed him, I guess, on either side of the ice. But if you're not noticing him on the defensive side of the ice, it's a good thing. But if you're in training camp and you had a dog shit season the previous season, you better stick out a bit. Like fuck. What's this guy's, like, problem?
I don't know. Like, he's certainly, like, at this point, the Flames defensive, the preseason Flames defender rankings goes like this. Shillington and Tanev. And then you give Hanifin a bit of a pass because he's been hurt and he'll be fine. And then it's like a huge gap. And then you have Anderson and Valimaki and Gabranson and like Stone in a clump. And you expect two of those guys to be terrible, but you don't expect Anderson and Valimaki to be terrible. Like, they're counting on those guys. This like huge. And they've both stunk. Like, I don't know who is more worrisome. Probably Anderson, because like, he gets paid the big bucks and they're relying on him heavily. But like, dude, did you watch Rasmus Anderson last night get walked like four times again? Dude stinks.
Dude, why why did he work on his foot speed?
Or he, like, must have missed the memo or something.
If you're Rasmus Anderson, what did you do all summer? I'm curious. Because like, it was literally foot speed should have been the only thing he was working on. Especially, you know, explosive backward skating. Like you said, his side-to-side agility, man. Shillington is, they're worlds apart. Him and Shillington, they're skating worlds apart. This is a skating league now.
Well, he just looks bad. There's a couple plays. Again, I didn't get to watch the game in the entirety last night, but on the Ehlers goal, his gap control is terrible. He lets Ehlers just walk right in and blow it by Vidar. There was a penalty he took. Did they score? I think they scored on the ensuing power play, or they might have scored on that play, but he just gets beat by a Jets player, like, right to the front of the net and has to hook him down. He got walked a couple times. Like, it's just, like, man, he just looks like he's really slow. and his reads have been way off, and he just looks, his all around game just looks really bad. It's just kind of incredibly, but it's just weird.
And he's turning into one of those guys where when he gets it in the offensive zone, you're like, okay, well, this is nothing's going to happen here. When he's on the power play and they pass up to him and he winds up, you're like, okay, well, nothing's going to happen here.
No, totally. Like,
it's just a fucking buzzkill whenever he gets it now in the ozone.
It's very concerning. I mean, the game he played with Hanifin was his best game. But man, oh man, like if you have him and Zadorov together, it's just, it's not going to fare well this season from what we've seen in the preseason. And that to me still remains the biggest red flag is Rasmus Anderson's play. Cause like he's been getting again, you can say it's preseason all you want, but when you're Rasmus Anderson and you're supposedly, you should be a top four defender on this team, you're getting dummied in preseason by like half the time you're playing against AHL players. Like, that is not good.
Oh man, Zadorov, did you see his penalty?
Yeah, I saw his penalty. Jeez, dude.
Look, outside of that, he was okay. But I mean, we talked about this when you first signed the guy. He's going to have to fucking figure that out, man. It's one thing to take penalties in your own end when you're defending. But when you're standing in front of the opposition's net as a D-man and you blatantly cross-check someone from behind...
You just can't help yourself.
I just don't understand how people do dumb shit like that. I don't understand it. Like, how big is this guy? If you're that fucking big and you cross-check someone from behind, they're going to go down. Are you fucking brain dead is my question. I do not understand it. Sam Bennett used to do this. Michael Backlund still fucking does it. I do not get. Is it just like... you're so exhausted physically that your brain completely shuts off. Like there's zero blood flow going to your brain.
Yeah. Like he has no discipline, dude.
There's no reason for you to even be in front of the net. What are you going to do? You have no offensive fucking punch to you. Sure. Maybe the puck's going to come to you, whatever. But why would you cross check somebody from behind when there's absolutely like the guy, like the puck wasn't even coming to him. Completely fucking brain dead.
This is why he has the worst penalty differential in the NHL over the past like 5 years or whatever it is.
And then that's the game-winning goal, of course. So like, I don't know, man. I'm preparing myself for a long fucking season right now.
It's going to be a lot of nights like that, I think, where they lose by one goal. And probably a lot of other nights where they win by one goal and they kind of just squeak into the playoffs. Because again, they did have a bounce back. They played pretty good in the second, I guess. And I mean, they scored the game tying goal. It was just disallowed because of an absolute shit call. Like, why is Toronto phoning in about that? What is with that? That's the deal. They phone. Oh, Matthew Tkachuk just made a great play to tie the hockey game. Make sure that doesn't count.
Yeah, well, like apparently any fucking little thing. I get the point behind it, but still, I mean, we already talked about it. You literally have to freeze frame it, and it's what, 2 inches above his shoulder, and he's hunched over? Like, in the spirit of the game, like, totally. How does that... I get it if it's high and he whacks it down the ice. He just fucking corralled it like a lacrosse stick. Yeah.
And again, like, it's similar to the offside thing, right? Like, slowing it down to a millisecond, like, 1 millisecond frame, like, so you can... and it's barely offside by like a millimeter. Like, that's not in the spirit of offside.
Give me a fucking break.
But I think what you're seeing to me in the preseason, I think what's being made evident is how this team is kind of just taped together. And let's say Gaudreau gets hurt in the regular season.
You're fucked.
You're so screwed because nobody's going to be able to score. Let's say Chris Tanev gets hurt. Let's say Matthew Tkachuk gets hurt. God forbid multiple guys get hurt. Like, this team is being held together with like scotch tape. And I think you're seeing that, man, oh man, it's going to be this team's going to have a hard time scoring goals. And if their defense, as currently constructed, continues to play this way, it's going to be they're going to be in tough to make the playoffs. Like, dude, Dan Vladar had to stop like 16. He made 16 saves. What did he make? 15 saves in the first period alone. It's crazy. It's no good.
Let's touch on the Oilers game.
Hey, folks, sorry for the interruption. Just a quick message from our sponsor, DraftKings. This week, we are brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Hockey is back, and DraftKings Sportsbook has an unbelievable offer to celebrate the greatest sport on ice. New customers can bet just $1 on any hockey game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. I mean, probably not a safe bet if you're watching the Daryl Sutter Flames, but hey, doesn't matter if it's a one-timer or a deflection, however they score, you win. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contest. That's for us Canadians as well. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes at their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the promo code THPN. Throw down $1 on any hockey game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. So this week, one puck in the net nets you a big win with promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook. You gotta be 21 years or older in NJ, Indiana, or PA. New customers only, minimum $5 deposit and a $1 wager required. One per customer, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Back to the show.
I mean, they looked good when they had a 3-0 lead, but then you're sitting there and you're like, 3-0 lead, probably gonna lose this game, right?
I can't think of a team who's, again, it's probably just magnified because we watch them all the time, but how many times, if you're a Flames fan and you've watched them over the past 3 years, you guarantee can think of like at least 10 games where they've blown a 3-0 lead.
Oh, there's no lead unless it's late in the game. If they get, these guys get an early lead, it's not a good thing.
No, it's worse. They're always better. If they have an early lead, it's lights out usually. They can, yeah. They don't have any killer instinct at all.
Nope. And then the Oilers tie it up. They win the game. And I mean, the most notable thing from the game is here's the thing. Again, you get back-to-back goals. Like, how is that not goalie interference is my question.
That's what Daryl said. Daryl's like, what they asked him what he thought of the call. He's like, bowled our goalie over.
Literally bold. Like, Connor McDavid removes him from the net.
Like, if you want to call Tanev for tripping and disallow the goal, sure.
We have instant replay. If you slow it down by one frame, it's a trip. Come on. If you watch that in full speed a million times.
Well,
there is no trip,
dude. Is it a trip if Connor McDavid, like, would it be considered a trip if Connor McDavid skates fucking 700 miles an hour across the ice right into Chris Tanev's stick?
In this league, if it's Connor McDavid, yes, it is.
I guess that seems pretty self-inflicted. Like, I posted the meme of the kid who's riding his bike and sticks a broomstick in his own spokes and then is mad that he's hurt when he falls over. That's McDavid.
100% it is.
I'm just going to skate really fast right into the blow. Oh, wow. I skate in hockey. Wow, there's no sticks on the ice.
Somebody touched me? Oh.
And then he's
all
mad.
No one should be touching me at all. I don't want to have any contact because I'm going too fast. And if I'm going that fast, like, it's
just dangerous. Move, guys. Just move.
Hey, if I start skating that fast, just get out of the way. Otherwise, it should be an automatic penalty. And it's too dangerous.
As soon as you see Sportsnet has the odometer up for the McDavid thing they always put in the game, which I think is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. As soon as they should put that on the Jumbotron, and as soon as the opposing team sees that up, oh, Connor's clocking it at 40. Everybody move.
Tanev puts his leg down to take away any passing lane. But dipshit McGee has to fucking skate 50 miles an hour down the ice and then cut to the center of the ice right in front of the slot where everybody literally is. There's lots of legs there. There's lots of sticks there. It's the kid that puts a fucking broomstick in his own spoke. And then he bitches about it afterwards.
Well, again,
I'm so sick of this guy bitching. Here's the thing, Connor. You got your fucking goal allowed. Then you score on the power play. You got two fucking goals out of that play, yet you're still fucking bitching about it. Connor McBitch.
What else do you want, right? Like,
that's the latest.
If that's a goal, which I don't agree with, then fine. But like you said, the fact that he got everything he wanted, and then he's still whining after the game. Oh, Connor McDavid's very upset.
Yeah.
Why? You know what? You got two goals out of it. What are you upset about, you bitch?
What Chris Tanev did is not dangerous. Chris Tanev played defense. What you did was dangerous, you fucking idiot. Stop your bitching.
I don't want anyone to play defense against me.
No. Too dangerous.
It's too dangerous.
Did you see, obviously his comments, the circle jerk continues, eh?
Oh, dude, it's never ending.
It's unbelievable.
And what's funny to me is nobody talks about the fact that Johnny Gaudreau had to leave the game because he got slashed by Duncan Keith.
No,
we're gonna hear laugh. Johnny bitching and whining. No,
we're gonna laugh about that. Took a good one off the fingers there. Hey,
he's never had that injury before. He's never had his hand broken by a slash before in his life. Yeah, he had to leave the game and didn't play again last night. And even though he's fine, I don't hear Johnny Gaudreau after the game with all the reporters around him jerking him off, going, "Yeah, Duncan Keith slashed my fingers."
I just can't believe that the media narrative after he says that is, oh, good for him.
Yeah. Oh, he needs to protect the stars. It's like, protect him from what?
He's opening his mouth now, finally. Oh.
Like, what about when he elbowed Jesperi Kotkaniemi right in the face, or he did it to Matt Barzal too, I think, a couple of years ago. Like, nobody says shit about it. Like, to say that what Chris Tanev did by standing there as a hockey player,
by playing defense,
is dangerous. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Sarah Velli, who I used to like, now I don't. Do you hear him going off?
No.
I think he just had the biggest orgasm he's ever had in his life. This is so great. Oh my. It's almost as good as Connor McDavid.
You know,
the best ever. He's starting to speak out now. Oh my God. Oh, he's guys.
So brave. So wow. Brave, Connor. Oh, wow. Connor.
And then it's just like, dude, the Oilers fans. Okay, we know they're delusional, but my God, man. And then it's funny because when Connor skates a million miles an hour, cuts to the center at the ice on a dime, and there's a defender there, and there's the slightest bit of contact, and he falls, and he complains about it. It's the fucking, we should maybe just take hitting right out of hockey. Whereas
where's the discussion on hitting? It should, we probably shouldn't have it.
No, Connor McDavid doesn't like it. We should get rid of it. And then obviously, those videos of his cheap shots start circulating. Every single time he cheap shot someone, I watched a thing. There was four of them. Mo posted it. He drills somebody from behind. I think it was it Oduya?
Elbows them in the face.
Oh, that elbow on Kotkaniemi. Oh, like literally, he He leapt off his feet to throw an elbow. But when you watch those plays, the announcers, they're not even like, oh, that was a dirty hit by McDavid. It's just like, oh, well, you could see what he was trying to do. He's trying to just push him off the puck, but just a little too much, just a tad bit too much.
Like, there. Did you see that boarding one he threw on a guy on Dallas? Like, it might have been Alexei or something. Just, like, plasters the guy in the numbers 20 feet away from the boards. Like, almost breaks his neck. And they don't say shit.
And the elbow, it's just like, oh, yeah, I guess there was a little tiny bit of contact. It was with the shoulder, though. Oh, that was the other one. It's just like you listen to it's just sheer defense of this
and
guy.
Like, imagine anything dirty. Okay, how many dirty plays has McDavid made in comparison to how many dirty plays Matthew Tkachuk has made in their careers. I guarantee you, Connor, like, there is literally one dirty play, two dirty plays Tkachuk's made in his career. That's it. He elbowed Doughty and he speared that guy on the bench that one time. But Connors have been way more dangerous if you look at it. And no, everybody wants to crucify Mac Tkachuk, but nobody says shit about Connor. Like, he's headshotted at least two guys, Letty and Kotkaniemi. He's boarded many guys. Like, he's made way more dirty plays than Matthew Tkachuk. I guarantee it.
Unbelievable.
Plus, he's so friggin' ugly. I can't even stand the sight of that guy.
I like how it's just like, the game needs to be easier for me.
Yeah. Like,
it's not easy enough. Like, it's too hard.
Like, does anybody remember, like, remember how much shit Sid used to get about this?
Yeah, right.
Like,
and he was like legit targeted.
Totally. Like, Connor's like a rich, spoiled brat kid who, like,
when is somebody gonna drill him? Is what I want to know.
Oh, exactly. Somebody needs to just peg him clean open ice hit. You know,
I like how he throws that elbow on Kotkaniemi, and it's just like the Habs don't even feel like they can go after McDavid.
Oh, they can't.
The world would lose their shit.
And that was like, well, didn't he elbow somebody else on the Habs? Like, he had previously elbowed, I think it was in the bubble or something, maybe, or he had just laid just he somebody did, yeah. else, just terrible elbow.
Right on the blue line, yep.
But, like, man, it's just, it's so pathetic. It's pathetic. They, like he said, I would need it to be easier. Like, I remember when Sid was coming up in the league and everybody hated on this guy. On Coach's Corner, Don Cherry would just rip him to shreds for, he's like, shut up. You can't whine every single night. And it was like all agreement that Sid is a whiny bitch. And, like, nobody says shit about Connor when he's way more annoying and way more dirty.
Imagine if Chucky drilled him.
Oh, I know. Imagine if Tkachuk drilled him clean.
You know, he wouldn't be allowed to. He would not be allowed to. He would probably get a match penalty for hitting, for just drilling. If,
why don't they just make a new rule? If you touch McDavid, you get a penalty. How about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, that's a good idea. If you defend him, you get a penalty. If you touch him in any way.
If you get within 6 feet of Connor McDavid, you get a penalty.
Imagine, though, you replace McDavid with Cassian, not to say that McDavid could get caught like that, but imagine if Tkachuk caught McDavid like that. The world would end. It would stop. It would cease
they
to
would,
exist.
They would suspend the NHL operations forever. They'd never be allowed to play hockey. No one, the sport of hockey would end. That'd be it.
So we see them again, game one, I think. What do we get? We have, fuck, man. Last season, what, we play three games and then we get a fucking week off? And they're getting games, days off to start the season?
Well, hopefully they don't pack it in, you know? Because remember, they had that week off last season and they were just like, oh, that really screwed us up.
Oh, yeah, we couldn't really get back to our the remaining 52 games after that. It was kind of over then. Anyways, they're playing the Oilers game one.
October 16th, is it?
Yeah, October 16th. So we're going to see how this is going to play out. But,
well, I'm really curious because we were talking, like again, if you watch this preseason, a lot of it's been really hard to watch. The red flags have been, there's been a lot of red flags. So I'm really curious to see, like, what does this team look like night one of the season? Are they going to be ready to go for once? Because they have one more preseason game. It's tomorrow. Like you said, they get a bunch of days off. And then it's kind of hectic for the first week. So if they're tired, like apparently they were last night, like, I just start good. Like, for shit's sake, just start on time this year. Is it that hard? Okay. Is it?
Do you think we win game one? Throw your prediction right now.
Oh my God.
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say no. You can't. I can't bet on them. I cannot do it. It's in Edmonton. It's on Saturday night. It'll be on Hockey Night in Canada.
One of two things.
They're probably going to get blown out is what's going to happen.
I'll say one of two things happens. It's kind of a tight affair, low scoring until the third period, and then Edmonton walks away with it. or Flames come out and take the lead like they did, like a 2-0 lead, and then they still and then they lose the game. So I think you think either one of those two scenarios.
Oh, totally. Like, man, I would love nothing more than, again, it'd be nice if the tables were turned for once and they're in Edmonton on Saturday night, opening out of the season on Hockey Night in Canada, and beat the living piss out of them. Like, when's the last time that's happened? Never.
Is Gabranson going to play in game one? Apparently, he can't be separated from Shillington. So.
Dude, I don't know how they could justify doing that. Like, Stone has been better than him. Like, come on. So like, how does Daryl do that? I don't know. I think at this point, Daryl would probably be leaning more towards Gabranson than Valimaki, though.
True. Hey? And Shillington's been better. So, yeah, probably Gabranson and Shillington start game one.
So, we'll see the next, like, again, tomorrow's the last preseason game. I don't know. The questions are really, what does the defense look like? And if guys like Glenn Gauden make this team, I think Gauden has made enough of a case to at least be on the team.
Oh, he's been better than Richie. Imagine if Gauden was playing in the top six all preseason.
Yeah, like,
goals would he have?
For all the talk about how much we shit on, like, Richardson and, like, even Lewis being mad, I don't get what Brett Richie brings to this team. His underlying numbers have been okay. Well, mostly because he's been playing in the top six. But when I watch him play, like, he brings nothing to the table for me. He's not fast. For being a big physical guy, he doesn't hit it. Like, I just don't get it. I don't get the Brett Richie love affair. I really don't.
For people that make the argument, oh, yeah, he's gritty and he's tough. When?
Yeah, like, when? Like,
exactly. Like, does he go in the forecheck and absolutely cream somebody? No.
Does he create turnovers with his physicality in the corners? Does he own the puck down low with a cycle? No.
No. Does he fucking make a giant open body center ice fucking enormous hit? No. Does he fucking get into the scuffle and rough guys up after the whistle? No. Has he had one fight all preseason? No. I don't get why he's the utility guy. When there's injuries in the top six, so this is preseason still, but still, he's been the guy filling up all the holes in the top six now. I don't get it. Why is he the guy? Why don't you put one of those young guys up there?
Yeah, and like you said, those are the kinds of guys you want to be injections into the lineup. Like, you're telling me a Glenn Gauden, and again, Glenn Gauden's done developing. He's, what, 24 years old? So I don't think there's a fair argument to say he should either be playing full-time in Stockton or playing full-time in Calgary. It's like, no, he could be a perfect utility guy who, when you need an injection into the lineup or somebody's hurt, he comes in and would give you way more than what Brett Richie brings to you, so. Meh.
So, I mean, if we're looking at preseason, the top line without Johnny, it seems like the top line they're going to start with Chucky, Lindholm, and Coleman has been okay. I mean, Chucky's driving that line.
Chucky's been great.
Lindholm is kind of...
I haven't seen much of Lindholm.
At times, he kind of goes invisible.
Yeah.
Unless someone's feeding him in the slot, except he made that amazing pass to Johnny on the tic-tac-toe. Lindholm definitely comes to life more when he's playing with Gaudreau. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think that's what we've seen. And even if you look at the numbers, Gaudreau and Lindholm are better together. They're okay apart, but both of them have better numbers when they're together. So I think the best way to utilize Lindholm is with Gaudreau. And I mean, I guess Kachuk, like, that's the thing about Kachuk too, right? Like, he's made so many slick feeds. Like, you forget that his skill set is probably more in line with, like, Gaudreau than, like, Lindholm or Monahan, who's a goal scorer. Like, Chuck is a great playmaker. So I think Lindholm has to play and will play with one of those guys, probably both. But I don't know. Well, I don't know. I don't know how, again, with how little we've seen of Monahan and how good that top line looks, I don't know how you don't start night one with that top line together.
I mean, look, that top line has been the best thing we've seen all preseason.
It's been other than Vladar and, like, Shillington, it's been the only thing. It's been the only cohesive thing that has looked good. It's been the only thing that outside of, like, individual performances that has really worked.
We touched on the fourth line already, but the third line, I mean, Backlund's been awful. Dubé's been Dubé. He's kind of like...
And he's been playing at center too, so...
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes. I don't know.
And then Pitlick gets injured. It's going to take Pitlick a while to get going, man. He's basically missing training camp.
Well, and the thing is that, again, like I said, this team being held together with scotch tape, like, even Pitlick being out fucks a lot of stuff up, because now you got to have, like, what, Richie there? Like, exactly. And the reason Pitlick is there is to be with Backlund so they can be a monster defensive play driving unit. And, like, now you don't have that. Now you have slow ass, crap ass Brett Richie on that line. it just like any injuries exposes the lack of depth this team has to a large degree. So I don't know who you put on that line. I don't know. A lot of this hinges on where Monahan's at as well.
He was a big wild factor, obviously, coming in, and I mean, even more so now. I haven't heard any report on him. No one's
anything, and I'm curious why. Yeah, like nobody asks.
People are asking why Coleman's not playing very much. Why did nobody ask about Monahan? Maybe we just missed that.
Did he get married? What's the deal with Sean? We had a pact.
No, but there's that picture of fuck, man. Gaudreau gets married. They got the wedding. There's a Monahan like way in the back, all by himself, weird, with his hair all like poofed out.
He has a goatee still. He just looks evil.
He just kind of like looks like a deer in the headlights. Like,
we had a pact.
Oh boy. Okay,
but I don't know. They're still again like they have a pretty big chunk of time before they play. But there's still a lot of questions, which is kind of, it's like, I'm feeling very, I think that's where a lot of us are at, where a lot of the questions we have going into the season are still big questions after five, six preseason games, right? Is it seven? I don't even know what it is. But I think that's why there's so much collective freak out on Twitter, online from us, because like the questions that we have are still like, holy shit, these are still big questions and preseason's done tomorrow.
They've played some good hockey, but they've played a lot of shit hockey. And so I think that's where the worrisome comes in, because that's all we've seen the last two seasons. It's like, this is the same thing we've been seeing. Nothing seems to have shifted or changed, but I think we have to look at it from an 82 game perspective. And then the other thing too is manager expectations. I was sitting, I don't know if it was in the shower, we're going to get like good ideas in the shower. I'm like, because after those first few preseason games, I'm like, I was furious. I'd like wake up furious.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, you know what? I just need to manage my expectations. Obviously, I'm expecting too much from this team. So, like, what do you, if we're managing expectations and doing it in a really honest way, what do you honestly expect from this team this season? And not from like being a dick, not from being a fan, just like, what do you honestly expect that this team can do this season?
If well, you're being you, really real. You expect them to just play Daryl Sutter hockey.
And we're, how do you see, what kind of results do you expect them to get?
I think you expect them to be a middle of the pack team that should make the playoffs in a shitty division.
My expectations is that they will be battling for, you know, seventh, between 6th, 7th, and 8th. Spot in the playoff contention in the West. That's what I'm expecting. So with that said, they could fall below expectations and miss the playoffs. Wouldn't surprise me, finish 9th or 10th, or they could finish right on expectations, you know, just make it in with 4 points to spare in 7th or 8th spot, or they exceed expectations. Maybe they finish 5th. Or 4th if they have a really good season. But if you're really managing expectations, I don't think you should see this team surge in the standings. We shouldn't expect to see that.
Yeah.
I just think that, you know, we're what? Somewhere between 5 and 12 games above 500. Is that?
Well, yeah, there's a window. There's like a narrow range of possibilities, right? But most of them fall into that middle of the pack.
So when I shift to that perspective, it makes me feel less anxiety about the whole thing. That's all my only point. All I really care about is keeping Matthew Tkachuk. Yeah. Wish number one, wish number two, keeping Johnny Gaudreau. But it seems like the GM can't even fucking do those two things. And then my third wish is just beat Edmonton.
Yeah, just be better than the Oilers, then I'll call it a success. My fourth wish would be that they get Jack Eichel, but whatever.
Okay, well, let's touch on this, because that was their Friedman thing. We had a good laugh about it, because apparently Brad tried real hard, guys. He tried really hard. He tried. Really
you know, hard. You know when really you listen to politicians and like you wonder why people continue to take what they say at face value. That's what listening to Tree Living is like. Because Elliot is on the Jeff Merrick show, which I guess Jeff Merrick has a show now. I thought they had their own show, but whatever. And Friedman says that one of the teams that we knew was really big into acquiring Eichel was Calgary. Calgary tried really hard. And the thing that, again, that just astonishes me is, okay, well, then why is it either Eichel or bust, or it's Stone or bust? It's like you almost acquire Nazem Kadri, but it falls through, and then you don't do shit. Like, that's what always blows my mind. It's like, okay, well, obviously, if you want Jack Eichel, you identified their need on your team. So if you can't get Jack Eichel, go get somebody, like, have another plan of attack. That ceases to amaze me. We don't get Eichel, so we just go, and let's sign Gabranson. Like, I never understand that.
Yeah, where's the plan B? Where's the plan C? Where's the plan D? Instead, you go with plan F. Fail. He failed again. Our GM failed us again this offseason. I mean, look at what you're seeing in this preseason. Gabranson is so bad at hockey. Sure, he's tough. He's a physical presence, and he might beat some people up. But take that with also being bad at hockey. I mean, it's pretty much a negative trade-off at the end of the day. So you got him. You got Zadorov. Big question mark around him still, man. He's shown some signs of doing some things, and then you cost your team the game. You cost your team a game. So now you're left with 81 games. How many more games will he cost you just by fucking taking boneheaded penalties? Because he's not probably going to even that out with helping the team win games by scoring late goals. Maybe he'll shut some stuff down. I don't know. We'll see. But then, like, those are your – and then – a lot's going to depend on how Coleman performs. He's got to be a hell of a lot better than what we've seen. And then you got Richardson, Richie. Like, it's just like, fuck. Those all equate to Eichel? Is that how that works?
Yeah, that's what I don't get. That's what I don't get to the people who say, well, he tries. Like, well, then he should have had another plan because, like,
I've never
in my work or school or any kind of life, like, handed in an assignment or a project or done anything where it's like I didn't hand anything in and then just say I tried and like not gotten in shit.
Well, no. and if that's what you did for your 4 years of university,
yeah,
like every week, you try. Yeah, hey, I tried.
Well, did you hand in? Did you do a different? No,
I tried to. What do you mean? Well, I worked really hard on it. Well, what? same thing, but as long as Elliot Friedman reports that he was in on it, everybody's fucking happy. Yeah,
yeah, everybody's just keep them pacified enough, so I don't get it. Anyways, I'm hoping, well, man, by opening night, like, again, I'm really nervous about Zadorov, like you said, really nervous about Anderson. I Gabranson being on this team still, like Monahan is still a big question mark. What's going on in the bottom six? Still a big question mark. So I don't know. There's a lot of questions that need to be answered pretty early on. This team cannot, not even, it's going to be piss me off if they get off to a bad start. They can't afford to, because the margin of error once again this year is going to be so slim.
So slim.
Because you're going to be competing all year with Edmonton and Seattle and Vancouver. Like, it's going to be really tight. And like you said, like we saw last year, like, right? Like, how did they... They missed the playoffs by what? Like 4 points. They had how many few? Didn't they win more regulation games than Montreal?
Yep.
It's always at the end of the season. You're like, holy shit, it was really tight. It's always what it's going to be like. So you can't afford to just keep fucking up all year. So they got to come out really strong for once.
Yep. And right along that same vein, the games against Vancouver, the games against Seattle, and the games against Edmonton, you have to put even more effort into those games. You have to come even more prepared. You have to lay it out all on the line against those three teams all season long. You need to win those season series because that could make the difference, like we saw last season. I mean, if they would have beat Montreal in the season series, they would have made the playoffs.
Dude, if you beat Ottawa twice instead of lose to them 10 fucking times, you make the playoffs.
They just got to, I don't know. This is where I think having Sutter over 82 game stretch, man, he knows the vision to hold. So all I can do at this point is lower my expectations, try and relax, and remind myself it's 82 games. Don't get too worked up over, you know, a 5-game stretch. And I'm just trying to do that while putting my faith into Sutter until he's gone at the end of the season.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.